just talk a few minutes about picking sides. And as I was reading through the scriptures, going through reading my Bible for the year, hopefully you're doing that as well, that you're getting into the Word this year, that you've made a commitment to prayer this year. And as I was reading Matthew chapter 12, something just kind of jumped out at me, and I want to share that with you here this morning. With God, it's either one side or the other. There is no middle ground with God, and we've got to make a decision. Where are we in 2026? Where are we heading? Where are we going? Will it be with God, or will we do our own thing? There is no middle ground. And as I was reading in the Old Testament, King Saul, if you're familiar with the scriptures, tried to live on both sides. He tried to live to please men, but he also tried to please God. And we know the story wasn't very successful. We know that God rejected him for being a king and replaced him with David. And so he picked the wrong side. He didn't pick any side is what he did. And of course, when we don't pick God's side, guess what? We're really picking the other side. And so I want to read chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. And it begins with verse 22. It says, "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, 'Could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah?' But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, 'No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons.' Jesus knew their thoughts, and he replied, 'Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or a family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he's divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too, so that they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house." But verse 30 is my scripture that I just kind of want to emphasize here this morning. "Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me." So I believe verse 30 kind of quantifies quite a bit for us here this morning. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. You are opposing me. Jesus said, if you're not working with me, you are actually working against me. So we look at these two little words, for and with. If you're not for me, if you're not working with me, guess what? We're working against him. So Jesus didn't leave us a whole lot of wiggle room when it came to what he's saying here. He didn't give us a way out. And so we come to this place where we have to make a decision. If we don't choose a side, guess what? We have chosen a side. Because he said, if you don't choose me, guess what? You've chosen the other side. And if you're familiar with Revelations chapter 2 and 3, Jesus makes some accusations against the seven churches in Asia Minor. And in that story, we find that there were three main things at least plagued the church then, and it plagues the church even today. And in that, if you take it as a whole, you'll find out there was three things that he addressed. First, he addressed the fact they failed to guard against false teaching and teachers. And so things were coming into the church that shouldn't be coming into the church. How many know we live in a day today where there is a lot of stuff that has crept into the church and it is not of God? It is not of God. And so the second thing he said there, and remember when he wrote these letters, the purpose of these letters was to be shared with all the other churches. And so it wasn't just specifically him focusing on one church as we read those seven. He was actually saying this is a problem that is not just found in one spot, in one specific church or one area, but it kind of flows throughout the church. The first one was, again, guard against false teachers and teaching. And secondly, they lost their first love. And this is the one he addressed to the church at Ephesus. He said, you've lost your first love. There is other things that have come into your life that have replaced me as the number one option in your life. And how many know today there are so many things that can steal our relationship with God? That can we can put God on the back burner and we pursue so many other things. And so we can see it. They had a problem with it. How many know today we face the same thing? Most of us, even as people are entering into the retirement, I hear them say, I'm busier now than I was when I worked. The truth is, it's probably not so. But the truth is today that the devil is good at stealing our time. We have allowed him to steal our time because what? We have focused on so many different things. And so they were guilty of losing their first love. And then he went on to the last church, the Laodicea church, and you're familiar with this one also. He said, you've become mediocre. He said, you have become lukewarm. The love and passion that you once had for me is gone. And he said, what? I'm going to spew you or vomit you out of my mouth. And so that's not a very good thought here today. How many have ever been around someone that vomit? It's not a pretty thing. How many know that when somebody vomits, you want to vomit with them? All right? It's bad. It's terrible. And that's how disgusting this is to God. That even in that church, the churches that in that day, they were walking away. Their love was becoming lukewarm. Today, we know that's true as well. How many of us in our relationship with God are kind of hot, cold, hot, cold? We're kind of all over the place. God wants consistency. God deserves the best that we have. He wants our heart. And so these were the seven accusations against that church, but it's been that way throughout time. And so I just want you to consider here today, as a church member and as a pastor, I don't want to be found wanting. I know that I haven't probably lived up to what I want for my own expectations, maybe what God wants, maybe even your expectations for me as a pastor. But my prayer is that this year we're going to kick some things into a higher gear. And we've got some plans, we've got some things in the works that I hope that you will get excited with us about. And so this year, I don't want to be found wanting in the area of opposing God and what he wants to do. And so many times we can make our plans, we can make our strategies and say, this is what we want, this is where we're going. But how many know sometimes God has a different plan? And so we want to be open to that. We want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit has for us. And we want to be led by the Spirit. But I don't want to find myself being idle this year either. You know, that's a place that a lot of church people are in today. They have just kind of parked it. I've served. I've done my time. But I'm encouraging you, don't don't walk away from it. Don't be idle this year. There are going to be a lot of opportunities for you to be involved. And we're asking you to roll up your sleeves, join us. We don't necessarily need you to lead anything, but we just need you to join in and help us. And hopefully, out of this body, we'll rise up more leaders, individuals that God has given a vision to, a dream to, ministries that yet haven't been birthed. We're open to that. We're excited about what God wants to do. So don't dream for us. Amen. We don't need any more on our plate. But if God has given you a dream or a vision, amen, we'll get behind you and see the fulfillment of that dream. Amen. Amen. That went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. So I don't want to find myself opposing God and what he wants to do, and I don't want to find myself being idle this coming year. So if we fall into one of these traps, we would find ourselves in opposition to God's will. And of course, we know the story of Apostle Paul when he was persecuting the church. He was arresting them. He was having them beaten. He was having them jailed. Things were taken away from him. Some were even put to death. He thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to do. But he had an encounter on the Damascus Road that changed his perspective of everything. And he found out, hey, my way wasn't God's way. And so if we can come to that place here today, our way necessarily isn't God's way. So we need to find out what God's way is so that it becomes our way. And so I want to encourage you that today. So I want to invite you to join me in a pursuit of God in prayer, in His Word, and walk in His revealed purposes. So we're going to begin sharing a little bit today, but as this year begins to unfold at the beginning, we've got some big dreams. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take money, which God has already began to bless us with. We've got some grants that come in. We're believing for God to give us some more grants. And so we're excited about God's provision for us this year. I believe 2026 is going to be a year of spiritual growth and numerical growth for Chapel on the Hill. It's time to get away from we build it and they come to us going to them. And so this year, we're going to take some steps where we're going into our communities. And we're not just talking about Emlinton. We've told you over and over again, have a dream, have a vision for your community. We are a church made up of multiple communities. And I'm encouraging you, get a dream for where you live. If you live in Clintonville, Eau Claire, if you live in Parker, we want you to have a dream, Harrisville. We want you to have a dream for those areas, and we want to join with you in what God wants to do in those areas. And so we're looking for outreaches that will go into these areas to share the good news about Jesus. So you're cordially invited. Can I say it again? You are cordially invited today to join Chapel on the Hill on an exciting journey this year. And so I'm not trying to hype you. I'm just saying there are some things in the works that we are going to be putting into place. And we're asking you to really think about it. I hate to say pray about it because you probably won't. But we want you to think about it. We want you to pray about it because there are going to be opportunities for you to rub shoulders with people that don't know Jesus. And that's where we need to be as a church. It's great to have fellowship here in the church, and we have a great church. Some of you are here because of the fellowship, because it's a welcoming place, but how many know there are a lot more? If 80% of people would come to church if they were invited to church, isn't that a good reason to go out and invite people? If 80% of the people that are just waiting for an invitation to come to church and to know Jesus, so that's a good start. And so I just want to encourage you. This is not a hype session today. This is just an encouragement to you to say, hey, come on board. We've got some great things going. And so we just want you to come and be part of it. So let's pray. Father, you're a great God. And so, Father, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Lord. Your plans are larger than our plans, Lord. Lord, we see down the road a mile, Lord, but you see the end of the journey. Lord, I like that song, Lord. You're already waiting. You're already waiting for us to catch up to you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're already waiting on the back end of this thing. And so, Father, we want to join you in what you're doing. We want to, Lord, have your heart and mind. Lord, we know that you're in the people business. I pray that that be the utmost thought in our minds and hearts today, that we are in the people business. It's not this building, Lord. It's not this property, Lord, where it's at. Lord, it's building the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is everywhere. And so, Father, we want to participate in what you're doing. Again, we're praying for revelation. We're praying for you to speak to hearts. We're praying for you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God has for us. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves as a church to you. Father, we thank you for 2025. We thank you for all that you accomplished, Lord. There's been a lot of changes, Lord. There's been a lot of sifting going on. But, Father, we're getting into a place, God, where you're saying it's time to make the next step. And so, Father, we want to make that next step with you. And so, Lord, we love you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.